Area 2024 to order. Per the Brown Act, we posted notice of the meeting agenda more than 24 hours in advance of today's meeting. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
And so just for the record to clarify, this is the 1 p.m. special meeting. Calling the roll, Council President LaCava.
Present.
Councilmember Campbell.
Here.
Councilmember Whitburn.
Here.
Councilmember Foster.
Here.
Councilmember Von Wilper. Councilmember Lee.
Here.
Councilmember Campillo.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno. And Council President Ela Rivera.
Present.
Also attending the meeting are Assistant City Attorney Leslie Fitzgerald, Independent Budget Analyst Charles Monica, Council Affairs Advisor in the Mayor's Office, Code Advisor, and myself, your City Clerk, Sienna Fuentes.
All right, thank you, Clerk Fuentes. We've got a quorum. If you would please go through the public testimony procedures and order of business.
Here briefly, if you are here in chambers, please be sure to submit your speaker slip to the high lectern. If you are a seating time, please make sure that those speaker slips are submitted together in order to have proper meeting management. Once we go to virtual public comment, we will no longer be taking in-person comment. If you would like to participate virtually, you can do so via the webinar information found on the agenda cover page. The members of the public who do wish to provide virtual testimony must enter the virtual queue by raising their hand by either dialing *9 or pressing the raise your hand icon before the queue closes. The queue will close when the last virtual speaker finishes speaking or 5 minutes after in-person testimony ends, whichever occurs first. This afternoon, the agenda items will be taken in the following order, which is consent items, item 602 and 603, item 604, item 600, and item 601. That is for the scheduled 1 p.m. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you. All right, we'll get started with our consent items. Any requests to pull items from the consent agenda? Hearing none, we'll proceed with public comment on the consent agenda.
Thank you. Joyce Anyata, if you can please come forward. You will have 2 minutes for items 602 and 603.
Oh, 2 and 3, thank you so much. Joyce Anyata, District 3. I couldn't pass these up. These are important. I love the PAB, Private Advisory Board, and the fact that these vacancies are filled, it's so great. And there were great whereases in the RESO. So thank you for the RESO, it was really great. So there are three vacancies with appointments or reappointments. Equity-focused organization vacancy. So, anything with equity in it just wins my heart. Two attorney legal scholars. Don't you love the word scholars? One open government and transparency, and one hardware software encryption security. So that's a great addition to the board. Thank you everybody for jumping on board. And then 603, of course, how could I resist one with that involves the San Diego Housing Commission Board. I how much I love the commission, and I try to attend as many board meetings these days as I feel, up to doing. So on the board, qualified board member, yes to Joanna Hester. Thank you, Joanna. Yes, and there's two tenant vacancies with appointment reappointments, and we've got yes to Antone Pierre Jackson and yes to Kelly Hubbard. I haven't had a chance to meet you, so maybe you're new or maybe you've been out a bit. But Antone, I do know his work. He's fairly new, and he's very good. So he's a tenant, and I love the tenants on board. Love to all.
Thank you. That does conclude public comment here in Council Chambers. I've started the 5-minute timer. Going to the original, if you can please unmute. Please let me know which item or items you wish to speak to.
Both of them, please.
Excuse me?
Both of them, please.
Thank you. You'll have 2 minutes. Please proceed.
So for the Privacy Advisory Board, it's kind of been unfortunate. They haven't been having their meetings. They've been having a problem with keeping individuals to be a part of the board. So I'm hoping that with these reappointments and appointments that they will continue to be able to, or will be able to continue their business as necessary to give transparency to the people so that they can figure out what items are coming forward as far as the trust ordinance goes before it comes to the city council, so that they are privy to what's happening around them and can have an opportunity to learn more about it and put their input in as far as that goes, because it's very important when we're talking about surveillance and all of the technologies that are coming forward. So I'm hoping that they can get back to business this next month and you know, just provide the information to the people. So and then with the housing commission, board of commissioners, the hope is that, you know, these individuals will be able to bring forward more housing and do what needs to be done to make sure that everything is running the way that it should, and that we are doing what's needed to provide housing to so many people that are in desperate need of it. I think it's great that you have tenants that are a part of it. I almost feel like there should be more of them that are a part of the board, so that you can get a real opinion and whatever from people that are actually living the experience of needing housing and can bring a broader opinion to people than just, say, people who would develop things and that are going to benefit from this. It's important to have the voice of the people, and when people can be on those boards, it really helps out.
Thank you. That concludes your time. Next is Blair Beekman. If you can please unmute.
Yes, thank you, Blair Beekman. I wanted to speak to item 602 and 603.
Thank you. I have 2 minutes. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you. To speak to the Privacy Advisory Board appointments, good luck with that. Yeah, I'm hoping they can get started again and that we can trust the Privacy Advisory Board as a important part of just how to address our community issues. We shouldn't fear the conversation about tech accountability. Good luck how we can have those conversations. And if I notice, you know, when previous PAB meetings, when they show up on YouTube, they'd often be late or, you know, a month late, or the word, the heading, subject headings of the meetings would be wrong. Don't be afraid to call Chida, a board and commission. She's been really nice to work on the issue, to work out whatever kinks may happen in YouTube, or if there's some accountability thing that's not happening that you need to work on or want to address. And I highly recommend working that way as government community process. To go on to item 603, Housing Commission Board Commissioners reappointments. It's time for myself just to remind of the importance of mixed income ideas in housing. If we talk about that concept and those conversations openly, something becomes clear to ourselves and more clear about best practices and how to really create a shared process of living in our future that we've been afraid to better address for a number of reasons, that I hope we're learning how that we can have those conversations. And I think we share that with Tijuana and their housing development issues going on. They're in a housing boom right now. We start a process that's incredibly important to the future of the state. So good luck how we can start that process here in the border area. And to conclude, boy, the public process is difficult to work out. Thank you for your patience with myself and my words. I want to work on my words, better wording. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last speaker is Ike. If you can please unmute. You are unmuted. We do not hear you here in chambers. Not sure if the device that you're speaking into may be muted. Ike? I'm sorry. There you go.
Great. Hi, this is Ike. I'm 18. I'm just going to speak on 602.
You'll have 1 minute. Please proceed.
Sure. Hi, this is Ike from the Privacy Advisory Board and Chair. I just wanted to remark on the confirmations and just headed to the council for all the work that you've done in getting us to this stage. I know it takes a great amount of leadership and a amount of just teamwork just to even get here. So it's a huge step forward for the Privacy Advisory Board. and I've heard directly from city council members and directly from the police chief while of the importance of transparency and oversight. Even that requires doing some extra things to take the public to know that technology being deployed is in fact compliant with recent laws. So here's where we see that the action that's been done in words are being done. So just wanted to thank you on that. And we do see the hard work being done to the new members and the replanted members. Just wanted to say thank you for replying and hope to do some good work with you. Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude the public comment for the consent agenda, but let me know for the record the potential appointments and reappointments that are on the agenda this item. This afternoon is item 602, the potential appointments of Ted Womack Jr., Timothy Blood, and Brett Deal, and the potential reappointments of Tara Gentry Kelso and Pega Parsi to the Privacy Advisory Board. Item 603 is the potential reappointments of Anton Pierre Jackson, Kelly Hubbard, and Johanna Hester for the San Diego Housing Commission Board of Commissioners. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you, Clerk. All right, we'll begin Council's discussion with Councilmember Lee.
Thank you, Council President. First off, thank you to my colleagues for their nominations and renominations for the Privacy Advisory Board for item 602, to those who have shown a willingness to serve. For item 603, I wanted to share congratulations to Ms. Joanna Hester for her reappointment to the San Diego Housing Commission. I'm glad to have jointly nominated Ms. Hester to the commission with the Council President, Council Members Foster, and Council Member Moreno. Ms. Hester serves as the Assistant Executive Director of the United Domestic Workers, AFSCME Local 3930. Additionally, she serves as the Vice President for AFSCME International and as the second Vice President for the Asian Pacific American Labor Alliance, a national organization that advocates to advance worker, immigrant, and civil rights. Thank you to Ms. Hester for your advocacy both nationally and regionally, and for your service on the board of the San Diego Housing Commission since 2018, as well as for your continued willingness to serve on this important commission. That concludes my comments. And with that, I will move the consent agenda.
Thank you. We've got a motion. We'll now go to Councilmember Whitford.
Thank you, Council President. Item 602, I want to thank all those who have stepped up to serve our city on the Privacy Advisory Board, including District 3's Brett Deal, who is being appointed and who has been with us today. Mr. Deal has extensive experience as a trial attorney with Federal Defenders of San Diego. His service as a judge advocate in the U.S. Army through the California National Guard further equips him with an informed perspective on the intersection of domestic and international security concerns related to surveillance technologies. So very much appreciate Mr. Deal for joining this board. Also want to thank Tim Blood and Ted Womack, who have agreed to serve. Appreciate their service as well. And I'm happy to second the motion.
Thank you, Councilmember Whitburn. Motion and a second. Councilmember Von Wilker.
I too want to comment on item 603 and 602. Thank you to everyone who is stepping up to serve on two incredibly important commissions, the San Diego Housing Commission, Board of Commissioners, and the reappointment to the Privacy Advisory Board. Thank you to my nominee, Tim Blood. I'm honored to nominate you with the Council President for this role, and thank you to everyone who's serving. We look forward to hearing your reports. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Foster.
Yes, thank you, Council President. I'd like to comment quickly on items 603 and 602. Starting with 603, I was happy to join my colleagues in nominating Ms. Hester for her reappointment to the San Diego Housing Commission Board of Commission. I'm confident that her continued representation on this board will only help to further the progress and the goals and objectives of this board. Also, item 602, I also want to thank Council President for sitting off call member for the Privacy Advisory Board. Very happy to see a diverse group of candidates from District 3, 5, and 9, and look forward to these appointments further assisting the path to achieve their goals. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilmember Foster. I'll just wrap things up by first expressing my appreciation to the Housing Commissioners for being willing to continue serving. Joanna, Antoine, Kelly, your long history of service to the Housing Commission is much appreciated. We definitely appreciate you continuing in those roles. And then for the Privacy Advisory Board, Tora and Pega, for being willing to continue to serve on what is a very time-consuming and kind of technically demanding board that is super, super important. All right. Ted, Tim, and Brett, very much appreciate you all stepping up. Ted, thank you for being here and hanging tough. through our prolonged morning agenda. Appreciate you serving in the equity-focused organization seat. And then Mr. Blood, who has a very, very robust resume and will bring substantial experience and expertise to the Privacy Advisory Board. Proud to have him filling the seat as a District 9 representative in the attorney seat that he's filling. And Councilor Whitburn, thank you for putting Mr. Deal's name forward and appreciate his willingness to serve as well. Councilmember Lee made a motion to approve the consent agenda. Councilmember Whitburn seconded the motion. Clerk, please call the roll.
I started the voting system. Please cast your vote. That passes unanimously, 8-0, with Councilmember Moreno absent.
Great. Thank you so much. Let's hear item 604, please.
Item 604 is the Shelter Crisis Declaration and Next Steps. If you'd like to speak to this item, please be sure to submit your speaker slip to the High Lectern. And if you're participating remotely, please be sure to raise your hand by pressing star 9 or the raise your hand icon.
All right, once our presenters are ready, please introduce yourselves for the record and let us know if you'd like.
Sarah Jordan, 5 minutes, please.
Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Council President Ela Rivera and Council Members. My name is Sarah Jarman, and I am the Director of the Homelessness Strategies and Solutions Department. With me today is Deputy Director Renee Robertson. Today we are here to request Council's approval to declare a shelter crisis in the City of San Diego and discuss next steps on addressing this issue. This year's point in time count reported a total of 10,605 individuals experiencing homelessness in the San Diego region. As the map on this slide illustrates, 64% of individuals experiencing homelessness in the region were reported to reside within city limits, with the second largest part of the region being in East County, representing almost 12%. A total of 6,783 persons were reported to be experiencing homelessness within the city, with 3,294 individuals experiencing sheltered homelessness and 3,489 individuals experiencing unsheltered homelessness. Overall, the city saw a 4% increase in unsheltered and sheltered homelessness compared to the year prior. According to the Regional Task Force on Homelessness, for over 2 years, the inflow of individuals entering into the homelessness system outpaces the outflow of individuals exiting to permanent or other forms of long-term housing. The Regional Task Force on Homelessness's monthly report for June 2024 reported on average over the last 12 months, 10 people found housing for every 16 people who experienced homelessness for the first time. The city has previously declared a shelter crisis, with the most recent declaration taking place in February of 2022. Although the declaration does not expire, the city has historically renewed it every few years to address issues of public health, homelessness, and housing. During a declared crisis, the city may suspend provisions of state and local law prescribing standards of housing, health, or safety to the extent strict compliance would prevent, hinder, or delay mitigation of the effects of the shelter crisis. In addition, state law further allows the city to adopt reasonable local standards and procedures for the design, site development, and operation of homeless shelters. Last week, our department presented an update to the Comprehensive Shelter Strategy, which provided an overview of recent shelter accomplishments, upcoming changes in our shelter system, and options to implement new shelter opportunities. Our department will continue to seek new sites, collaborate with other jurisdictions to learn from their experiences, and continue to research and explore other opportunities for shelter programs. We also welcome Council's input on next steps. The Council may want to consider adopting provisions that other jurisdictions have implemented. For example, San Francisco relaxed its competitive procurement restrictions for contracts and grants to provide services or to procure goods or materials relating to shelter operations. In addition, Los Angeles amended its municipal code to provide a process to declare a local housing or homelessness emergency that included criteria for what facts supported such a declaration and what authority the mayor of Los Angeles could exercise during the local emergency and what authority the Los Angeles City Council wanted to approve or ratify. We look forward to continuing our collaboration with Council as we look forward to addressing this issue. In summary, today we are here to request approval to declare a shelter crisis in the City of San Diego. I'd like to thank the City Attorney's Office, Office of the City Clerk, the Docket Office, and my staff for their expeditious work on this item. With that, we are happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's hear public comment on this item, please.
Thank you, Council President. We do have Dr. Terry Hoskins here and Joyce Inyata. If you can please come to the microphone. Terry Hoskins, you have time stated to you by Yvonne Jones. Thank you so much. You'll have 4 minutes. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Terry Hoskins, resident candidate for City Council of District 9. So this is like the fourth, I think, declaration for a shelter crisis. So we talk about efficiency and proficiency. This is kind of like just a grandstanding is all this is. We know that, and I think everyone else knows that. The Voice of San Diego, they printed a great article in which they just titled it Another Shelter Crisis Vote. It seems like this declaration is nothing, will do nothing really to affect the shelter crisis. This is due to response, I think, to the council president's failed push last week in his marathon meeting to push the 1,000-bed shelter that was proposed. This is simply just busy work is all this is, wasting your time and everyone out there. You may get some update, but it won't affect anything. This is just busy work. Even the mayor's team, and using their own words, they said the mayor's team was not jazzed with the idea of the repeated shelter crisis declaration. The mayor's chief of staff was quoted, "The city already has a shelter crisis declaration on the books. On Tuesday, the city council will seek to update this declaration with new facts, but it will not provide any additional authority to address homelessness." There's been a lot of talk recently about the council proficiency, efficiency, and then here we are, grandstanding. Thank you.
Next is
Joyce
Inyata, if you can please come forward.
Thank you, City Clerk Fuentes, Joyce Inyata, District 3. Thank you for this. This calmed my recent growing heartache about the growing unsettled situations of our current homeless programs and what's next. So yes to the rezo, suspending applicable provisions of state and local laws. And it's about public safety, it's about public health, we know that, we're working on that. We are doing our best, everybody. Let's just keep on keeping on, even as we stumble to figure it out. So love the collaboration, love us looking for new locations. The data, I meant to do a little more work on it, but I didn't have time. But I love the data on the ones that are closing in 24 and the ones that are to be cited. I meant to do the total so I knew it. It's pretty high up there, like on the closing side, we've got 34, 40, 264, 350, so whatever that total would be, it's high. And then the to be decided, 326, 136, and 408. So both of those figures are high, and I didn't realize that until I read something in the UT. So, there's a lot to do, but this is our life process, and let's just keep at it and hang in there together and love to all.
Thank you. That does include a public comment here in Council Chambers, but the virtual speaker starting with Rachel. If you can please unmute.
Hi, Rachel Hayes with Lived Experience Advisors. Obviously, we have a shelter crisis in San Diego. I just read an article where they're using drones to find encampments so they can empty them because of the governor's statement. Where are you going to put these people? Do more safe sleeping. Do something that's less cost-effective than a 1,000-bed shelter. These people, you're going to harm the most. This is my community out there, and I was out there for over 10 years, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to hurt them if you don't do something with them, because they have nowhere to go. I'm asking you guys, please, don't just think with your heads, think with your hearts. Think with your hearts, because these are humans. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Richard, if you can please unmute.
Hi, Richard Sieba, Lived Experience Advisors, and I just wanted to voice my approval for declaring a shelter crisis in the city of San Diego. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Jason, if you can please unmute.
Hi, this is Jason Fry. I want to say a couple things. We do have a shelter crisis. I don't care where we house people. We need to get people housed. We have to concentrate on this phrase, neighbors, not nuisances. And this is an absolute human issue. If you need a face for this, I want you all to look up Annette Herschel. That she went by Granny Aunt Emmy last year on May 8, 2023. She was sleeping behind a dumpster in Sara Mesa. And two young men went out with a pellet gun saying that they were going hobo hunting. One of the pellets ruptured her aorta. She died in the hospital 3 days later. We need to help people. This is a blight on our city. This is a blight on our hearts. This is a blight on our moral conscience. And for everyone on the city council and everyone working for the city and everyone sitting in the chambers today, you have a break coming up. I encourage everyone to go out at least once with Streets of Hope. They're a group that goes out every single Monday evening at 6:30. They meet at this parking lot of the Smart and Final over by City College. They go out, they give out sandwiches, they give out clothing, toiletries, and they give out human connection. Go to streetsofhopesandiego.org, and if you have not gone and directly connected with people on the street, go do it. It will put a new face on this issue, and it will provide that necessary urgency that will light a fire under your ass. Thank you so much.
The original, if you can please unmute.
So that we know there's a crisis, it's been known, and it doesn't matter how many times you declare a crisis, the homeless problem gets worse and worse every time there's a point in time count. And if you think about all of the hundreds of homeless that have died, you know, this year, last year, over the time, those are less people that you actually count during that point in time count, yet the numbers still increase. And, you know, this is grandstanding and it's a bunch of busy work because, and it's, you know, it leads to making negligent decisions to pretend to provide homes to people. Instead of doing what needs to be done, you know, getting into business with people who are going to profit off the backs of these people suffering and, you know, taking more time to provide what needs to be provided, because you're talking about getting into, you know, decades-long leases that in buildings, I mean, potentially redoing, like, in repeating the 101 Ash Street fiascos when you're, you know, trying to provide even just 1,000 shelters. So it's a slap in the face to the people that are actually suffering, because people are dying on the streets. And instead of trying to help them, what's being done is they're going and being demonized for being where they're at and having no other option. If you guys were doing what you needed to be doing, which is providing options and not getting into business deals that you should never get into, then people wouldn't be suffering, they wouldn't be dying, you'd be able to get them off the streets. And instead, again, the numbers continue to increase, and the next time there's another point in time count, this coming January, there's going to be more and more and more that are added to that. And you guys don't live that, so it's not as necessary to you as it is to them. But you should look at it from a human aspect and do what you would want to be done for you.
Thank you. Your time is concluded, and so has the timer in chambers. We have two speakers left. No additional speakers will be taken. Tammy Ratliff, if you can please unmute.
Hello. My name is Tammy Ratliff from District 3. Thank you for letting me speak. I just wanted to agree that it is a state of emergency, but it has been since I would say 2007 and even before then. I don't know what declaring a state of emergency does. Maybe it's to request federal tax dollars, but I mean, I meet 50 people a week who tell me they would do anything to live in San Diego and even specifically in Mission Hills. So that's never going to change. I think we need to find beds in an emergency sort of way by doing what has been suggested by many people since I went to a presentation in 2018 at Sunbreak Ranch. And if there's anybody more suited to making that happen is in a military town. We go out all over the world and we set up, you know, many cities within days. And I think that if it is a state of emergency, that's what we should be doing. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. And our last speaker is Blair Beekman. If you can please unmute.
Hi, thank you, Blair Beekman. Thanks a lot for this item. I'm trying to learn how to understand choices and how to develop programs for a serious and sad situation. As important as the encampment ordinance was for San Diego, and there was a lot of unhoused issues in downtown and stuff. You try to find your best, find ways to address it. I guess it's, in some ways it's working, but deaths are also on the rise among the unhoused. That's what I'm hearing and understanding, and that it's reported here earlier, public comment. So, you know, there is an issue. What are those death statistics going to be looking like? And that I think we do have to address the concepts of austerity in our practices as government and as community. Austerity has a price. And so we're learning that, I think, right now. Good luck with how we can be working on our issues. This quick fix idea, I think it can be a way to address accessibility for the public. So the unhoused can have understanding that they can work with government more easily. That's good beginning steps, but in doing this and learning how to practice this, I hope we're also learning how to practice the holistic approach and to be preparing for better social services, better low-income housing options, mixed-income housing, and having that whole array of setups ready to go also. I mean, it's part of a whole series of things. If we do this one thing well, let's do everything really, really well. That's how I'm trying to learn about this. So good luck with this issue. San Jose's doing some of the same work that they respect you about and look to you. Check them out.
Thank you. Your time has concluded. That concludes the comment, item 604.
All right. Thank you so much for the presentation and for working closely with our office and city attorney's office over the past week. To bring this forward in response to the motion that was passed last week. So just to be clear, the shelter declaration is not the same as a state of emergency. I think that part was clear and appreciated that in the presentation. What should be noted, and I think was mentioned, it is common practice to extend and to take action to extend either states of emergency or declarations of this sort. This morning, we extended the state of emergency for the Tijuana River Valley, something that we do on an ongoing basis. We extended the state of emergency from the January 22nd floods. We did that because those are emergencies and they still require emergency action, and we don't need unnecessary impediments to taking that action. What we heard from staff is that the shelter declaration is a useful tool for all the reasons outlined in the presentation, and that is why we supported bringing this item to reaffirm the declaration today. We also heard that the additional authority granted with the state of emergency would be useful, and it is different than the authority granted here in this declaration. So my commitment is to making sure that we have every possible tool available to the mayor, to the council, and to the city to address homelessness, because we are in a state of emergency. So I do want to ask, if I may, Sarah, in what ways you could potentially see a state of emergency being helpful in terms of removing impediments to you being able to do your job as quickly, efficiently, and effectively as possible?
Thank you, Council President. One of the ones that I mentioned briefly as we were looking at other jurisdictions with a state of emergency would be a loosening of procurement requirements or an amendment of procurement requirements that would require a municipal code change that would, of course, come before the City Council, an option to consider, but that would be one.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about what the impediment looks like in real time as you're trying to do your job?
Sure. There's a couple, most of our agreements are operated under nonprofit agreements. Those agreements do not require council action if they're under $1 million. Many of ours, which do go above $1 million with an RFP that jumps to about $3 million, that really hasn't been updated in the municipal code in quite some time. So that is an impediment, just additional kind of red tape that goes through that. Also, I will say that justifications for sole sourcing, especially for materials as it relates to standing up shelters. So when you think of materials for platforms that safe sleeping or the tents or even bunk beds, having the authority to either sole source or have a higher discretionary amount that we could work within, that would be helpful just to stand up shelters far quicker.
Okay, I appreciate that. There was not unanimity last week in terms of whether or not we should approve the lease that was in front of us, but there was unanimity in terms of our urgency to address the homelessness crisis that's on our streets. I think there's next to unanimity in the community to do that, and that's why I want to make sure that you don't have any unnecessary hurdles in doing what you need to do to get folks off the street and then into permanent housing, which we know this big state of emergency could be helpful with. Just to kind of summarize why I want the city to adopt a state of emergency. One, there is a state of emergency, and we should call it that. Second, we've seen other jurisdictions successfully utilize the powers that come with declaring a state of emergency. LA has actually made some significant strides since declaring a state of emergency a couple years back. The progress made has included the expediting of permits for shelters and affordable housing, the Inside Safe Initiative, which utilizes interagency coordination to get people inside homes and shelters, and the temporary use of hotel rooms for unsheltered people. Mayor Gloria has done a lot in terms of issuing executive orders to expedite permitting. However, I know that we're not using every tool available, and I think that we should and want to make sure that there are not unnecessary impediments standing in the way of Sarah and her team. To get the job, the very, very important job done that they have, that they are taking on a daily basis. So thank you for bringing this forward and working with our office. I look forward to continuing working with you, and with that, I will move approval of the staff recommendation and turn to my colleagues, beginning with Council President Pro Tem LaCava.
Thank you, Council President. Thank you to HFS. And everybody in the city attorney's office to turn this around. It's hard to believe it was just a little more than a week ago that we took this vote. So it shows what we can do when we actually agree that there is a crisis. I always caution the public, and I always reminded myself when I was a member of the public, don't get your policy information from what you read in the media. They have a different agenda, and the commitment, I think, by the mayor's office is the fact that this is actually the operations side that is presenting this item. So thank you for that. And I think during the discussion about Hope and Vine, whatever position you took on that, we had a pretty candid disclosure about the current number of beds that we're at risk of losing. And we need to do something, and we need to do something fast. So those individuals will find a place to shelter if that works for them, and to increase the capacity even beyond those beds that we're losing. And I mentioned this briefly in one of my comments this morning, and the council president said it much better than I will, but it allows us to be much more nimble. One of the biggest challenges that I see on the operations side is how much strings and red tape and bureaucracy get in your way to be able to do the job and deliver what we so desperately need. And I can't thank you enough for your infinite amount of patience in navigating that and trying to deliver. We as the mayor and the council delivered an extraordinary number of shelter beds over the past couple of years since the last time we did this in 22, if I remember correctly. And some of those are going away because they were just interim solutions that we were able to stand up. I'm grateful that we were, but some of those are now, many of those are going away. So we need to do something. We need to do something fast. So thank you, Council President, for your leadership. Thank you to the operations side for standing this up. And I know there is a commitment, and we heard it from Lisa at Housing Commission about that joint, what is it, weekly meetings?
Yes, a weekly working group.
Working group there going forward. So this is a reality for our most vulnerable San Diegans. We need to do something. This is a little bit bureaucratic, yeah, I'll give everybody that, but this is the steps you need to take to be able to achieve the outcomes that we're all fighting for. So with that, Council President, I'm happy to second the motion.
Thank you, Council President Pro Tem. Councilmember Whitmer.
Thank you, Council President. Thank you for bringing this forward. I appreciate these declarations and the tools that go along with them. I hope that we are able to effectively use these tools to take concrete action. The entire homelessness crisis could be summed up in five words. And those five words are, do something, but not that. And I think that for the past 3 years, we've been very much in the do something camp, and we've done a lot. And I hope that we can work together and remain in the do something camp and find actions that we can take that will genuinely make progress in solving the problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Woodford. Appreciate that. Council President Pro Tem, I appreciate you mentioning the beds that are going offline. It's in anticipation of that, that we wanted to bring the state of emergency forward. This was a way of teeing that up. We don't want to wait until those beds are offline. To take that action, this should give Sarah and her team, again, some additional tools, untie their hands in certain ways to be able to get out ahead of that, hopefully to avoid, to avoid what is a very, very bad situation getting even worse. Council President Pro Tem?
You said something that kind of inspired me and wanted to ask staff. Because a lot of people ask me, you know, we had the Supreme Court decision on Grant's Pass, we had Governor Newsom's bold executive order, but as far as I understand, if you could clarify, that we're kind of staying the course in terms of we have limited ability or we'll take limited action if we don't have a place for folks to go, if we don't have a shelter, whether that's a sprung tent, whether that's safe parking, whether that's safe camping. That we're going to kind of hold the course the way we've been operating for the past year since the encampment ordinance was approved. Is that still kind of where we're at?
Thank you. Yes, that is correct. We are holding course with what we have been doing prior to the Grants Pass decision and prior to the executive order from the governor.
Yeah. Okay, great. Just wanted to confirm that. So thank you, Council President.
Thank you. All right. I put a motion forward. It was seconded by Council President Pro Tem LaCava. Clerk, if you'd please call the roll.
Sorry, I'm going to somebody cast your vote. That does pass unanimously, 8-0, with Councilmember Moreno absent. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's move to our next item. Please, I'd like to introduce item 600.
Thank you. Item 600 is the Hillcrest Focus Plan Amendment to the Uptown Community Plan.